Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bible to the book of John, chapter 9. John, chapter 9, it will be on the screen, and it's in your bulletin, but it is only part of the story that we will be referencing today. So I would like you to make sure you have your own Bible open to that place, John chapter 9, and we're going to read the first 12 verses, and I'll preach mainly just from those 12 verses, but there may be some parts that will cause you to read further down, and I would encourage you to absolutely read further down into the story. The story itself is the entire chapter. But we'll just cover the first little bit of it. And I'll start us at verse 1, and go ahead and join me at verse 6. So I'll read verses 1 through 5. Please join me at verse 6. John chapter 9. This is Jesus. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Let's read together. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. And he replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. The very words of God. Amen. So our series this whole entire year, for those new to us, is Change. The subtitle being, "I Change and the World Changes." Again, it's not that I change myself, therefore I can now change the world around me, but instead God changes me, and in changing me, He changes the world. And throughout the year, we have been examining different stories, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, of people who were changed by the good news, by God's power and His grace and His love. And through God transforming them, the world around them was being changed. I don't know about you. Maybe you could care less about the world around you. You don't care if things get worse. Well, things are getting worse, or things get better. Whatever. I just want to change what's inside here. Maybe that's how you might feel. That's how I feel. You know, sometimes I look out the window, I'm like, just forget about this. I got enough problems right here. Lord, change me. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Right? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see Jesus lifted high. That's kind of where I am at sometimes. So, moving along that theme, we have this man. It's very interesting. Of course, we get our scriptures from Pastor Hiroshi, our senior pastor at this church. He did 3 sermons out of the Gospel of John, and it was a pleasure to follow him through those stories. The first one was John chapter 3, right? Nicodemus and his visit to Jesus in the middle of a dark and stormy night. And then there was the woman in John chapter 4 that he met at a well in Samaria. And then today, we're going to look at a man. Now, the great thing about this story, and I love this story, such a great, great story. Please read this story if you have never read this story. It's such a great story. And if you know and understand Japanese, please look up Pastor Hiroshi's sermon on our homepage. Great sermon. So, this man was born blind, as the scripture says. And he's at the temple begging for money. Now, why? Well, obviously, he can't make a living on his own strength and ability. So he goes to the equivalent of Hiroshima Eki or Hondori, right by where the Peace Park and Hondori meet, right? The most crowded, the most trafficked place in the city. And he's there just sitting and begging for money like he's done probably most of his adult life. We know that he's now an adult because as we read further along the story, his parents said, okay, we're done with you. Okay, you figure it out on your own. We've done what we could. And so he's on his own, right, without the support of his parents and making his own living as a blind beggar. So he's there, born blind. Now, immediately, the Bible gets right into our heads, right into what we believe, most of us, even in this room. The disciples are walking behind Jesus, and they see the blind man. And they say, Sensei, Rabbi, Jesus, why is he blind? Is it his fault or his parents' fault? Why? What's the cause of this man's blindness? For those of you on Facebook, okay, here we go again with Chris's Facebook talk. Those of you on Facebook, do you ever see those videos that usually titled Instant Karma? And they'll show a mean person trying to do something bad to another person, and immediately it comes back to them. Like there was a picture, there's a video of a girl, she has a big ball, and her friend is standing in front, she's about to throw the ball at him. She throws this ball, it hits him in the back, it bounces and hits her on the head. Instant karma, you know, it gets back right to her. Or there's another young man. His friend is sitting on a chair, a plastic chair, and his friend is sneaking up behind him, and he goes to kick the leg of the chair, so the leg breaks off, but the friend is still supported by the 3 legs, right? But the one who kicked the leg, he slips and falls, right? And hurts his head. Instant karma. And then the last one was this young man, he's trying to, there's this kind of a heavyset girl, big heavyset girl, standing at the edge of the water. And he's going to push her in. So he goes and he tries to push her, but she is so big, she does not move. And she looks around, she picks him up and just throws him in the water. He got what he deserved. That's what we say. Instant karma. Now, if you're a Christian, You probably don't believe in karma, but even if you are a Christian, you probably believe, yeah, they got what they deserved. You do bad things will happen to you, right? That's kind of a common idea. Pastor Hiroshi called it inga oho. Inga oho, the retribution of cause and effect. Basically, you do bad, bad comes. Right? What goes around comes around is the expression in English. So that's basically what these disciples are saying. Whose karma is he paying for? Whose sin? What's the evil that he or his parents have done that he is now suffering? Whew. Jesus says, it's got nothing to do with that. You see, he's going right into everybody's thinking and saying, you have to flip that around if you're going to change. Because there's two things that we do when we think of suffering and pain. There's two kinds of roads we take. There's the anger road, the guilt road. The reaction we have towards pain and suffering is one way is anger. And we'll say, whose fault is this? Is it my parents' fault? All these problems I have, all my deficiencies, it's somebody else's fault. And I'm going to take this finger and point it at somebody. Because I didn't do this. Whose fault is this? And we'll get it. And some of us, we'll point our finger right to God. It's all your fault, isn't it? And you know what? You don't have to be. Some of us, we're Christians, and we'll blame God for our suffering, right? God, I've given you my life. I've sacrificed so much. I've done all I can for you. You owe me. And we get angry for the suffering that we have. Okay, if you can't say amen, you can say ouch, right? That's the anger. Anger. And then some of us, it's not that, it's the other one. It's the guilt track. Who sinned? His parents, the anger, or him? I know I deserve everything. I get it, God. All this trouble, all this difficulty. I must have done something so bad and so wrong. And it's not out there. It's all me. I'm pathetic. I'm useless. I'm worthless. It's all my fault. And we crumble. And we just, you know, we're walking in darkness because of the, right? And so Jesus says, wake up. I am the light of the world. I'm about to enlighten you about the meaning of your suffering. The Bible says it's not about the past. It's not about what you've done. Listen, suffering and pain, they're not what God intended. This is not part of the original plan of God. But that does not mean God cannot use it. Amen? So what is it? Let the Christian understand. Let the disciple know. All suffering, all pain in general, is caused by sin in general. But let's flip it around. Not all pain in particular, not all suffering in specific is caused by some particular sin or specific sin. Did you catch that? The Bible is clear. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible is clear. Genesis chapter 3, the land is under a curse. Romans chapter 8, all of creation cries out for the redemption of the sons of God. The suffering in the world, the pain in this world, Yes, it is the fault of our sinfulness, not one sin, not our past. It's something that we don't blame. It's something that we understand. There's evil, and we're part of the problem. But that does not mean that just because I said something bad, or I did something wrong, or I even cheated on somebody, that that one particular act, word, deed, thought, emotion, that's going to come back to me some kind of weird karmic, cosmic retribution. Doesn't work that way. God, you will not find that principle in the Bible. Go ahead, look. And you're not going to find, because there's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But that's got to do with civil justice. Nothing to do with spiritual, cosmic justice. So, what is Jesus talking about? You know, this week, interesting thing, some of you know, I teach high schoolers a class called Seisho Nyumon, right? Introduction to the Bible. And one of the questions that a student wrote down and passed it to me, his question was this: why do people fail? Naze ningen ga shippai suru desu ka? Why, and then he wrote in the explanation, doushite ganbattemo shippai shite shimau. No matter how hard I try, I fail. I can't do right. I said, ooh, that's a good question. And so we went all through the problem of pain and sin and suffering, and we went through the whole thing. I don't know if they got it, but it was a joy and a pleasure to preach the gospel. But I flipped the question to them, and I asked the rest of the class, yeah, what do you think? What's your answer? And I got two answers back. Nande ningen ga shippai suru? Why do people fail? The one answer was because humans are not perfect, right? That was the one answer. The other answer was, because we can learn from our mistakes, right? Those are the two, you know, answers that these 16-year-olds could give me. Interesting. One answer, because humans are not perfect, that was trying to answer the cause of pain and suffering. And the other answer was to answer the purpose of pain and suffering. One answer looked back, and the other answer looked forward. These were high school students. Now, what is Jesus' answer? Neither this man's parents nor this man's sin caused his suffering. The reason he's suffering is not because of the past, but it is to show God's glory. It is for God's purpose. It is for this man's future. Are you following this? It was not looking back, but looking for. And Jesus was saying, yes, there is suffering in this world. Yes, we deal with pain and death. But don't let it go to waste, because God uses it for something, namely His glory. If you don't catch that, if you don't let that come in, it will never transform you. Because if you really took hold of that principle, that pain, suffering, difficulty, trial is producing in you something that God is trying to accomplish, that you'll never change. You're not going to get past anything. You'll just hit your head again and again on this wall. Why me? Why now? Why? And so Jesus is going into it. And Jesus goes into this thing about being the light of the world, and we have to do the work while I'm in the world. Did you catch that? And so he's going into this. He's answering their question, but he's saying, look, people, we can talk about this all day. I can give you some philosophical, metaphysical, theological, you know, instruction, but listen, We got to do work while we still have a chance to do work. I'm not here to just talk about it. Let's get about doing it, right? So then he's like, okay, we're done with this talk. And then he gets down on the ground and he gets to work. He just started talking about the work and saying, look, we can do this, or we can actually do this. We can talk. There's going to be a point, every one of us, where the argument needs to stop and the work needs to begin. You can reason. There's people that you're trying to reach, I know. And you're trying to talk and work it out. I understand that. But there's a point where, look, somehow the wallet has to open. Sooner or later, you've got to get up on your feet and walk with that person, go somewhere. The work has to begin. So here's Jesus. He gets down to this man. The man didn't even try. The man wasn't calling Jesus. He was just sitting there. And Jesus says, "That's." Could you imagine? Jesus just looks at him. Maybe he's looking at some of us right now, and he's looking. He's saying, he has no idea what I'm about to do in her life. And yes, we've come to church to be in the house of God, to hear from, but the Pharisees, you read in John chapter 9, the Pharisees are the ones who are blind. They're the ones who've been to church, have always gone to church, have memorized the book, yet they couldn't see, right? So here we are in church, we know the words, we know the songs, but maybe Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, oh, I've got something so good for you today. Let me open the eyes of your heart. I'm praying for somebody today. I've been praying. I don't know who it is. But maybe it's someone who's always come to church, who there's someone here, I know. You had a path. When you were a child, you didn't grow up with a Bible. You met Jesus here. But there's some people in here, I know. You've always been going to church. You've grown up with the scriptures, but you've never seen Jesus. He's never opened your eyes. Maybe this is the day. It's good news. This could be the chance. God says, look at me. Because listen, the Bible says, when you look at Christ in all his glory, that's how you'll change. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When you see the glory of God, that's when you change from greater glory to greater glory. So Jesus now, he's rolling up his sleeves. He's pulling up his trousers. What does he do? He spits on the ground. And he makes mud from his saliva. What is he doing? Now, the key word is mud. In the New International Version that we read, it's mud. Terrible, dirty word, isn't it? The other translations have a better word. They say clay, nendo, right? Yeah. That's a much better word. Because what does clay remind you of in the Old Testament? Genesis chapter 1. The Creator is taking the earth, and out of the earth, do you see where John is pointing to? This is not the first time John is doing this. If you look in your Bible, you can flip back, scroll back one chapter. John chapter 8, verse 6. John chapter 9, verse 6. Verse 6. They bring a woman to Jesus. She's caught and she's guilty. Sexual misconduct. Jesus takes his finger, starts writing on the ground with the finger of God, writing the law. Right? And again, John chapter 9, the hand of God making something new out of the earth. The Creator using the clay. He starts putting it on his eyes. That's got to feel really weird. Listen, you're a blind man. You're sitting, you hear somebody talking about you. And then that man is talking about God. And he's talking about being, this man, maybe he's a prophet. Maybe he's a holy man. And in your first century mind, the holy man, the prophets, they would say, you know, actually back then, they would use saliva as a kind of medical treatment for I don't know. You remember when you were a child? You have a little cut, they spit, you know, and you start rubbing it, right? Right? That's what they thought back in those days. Right? But even then, even they take it to another step, and they thought if somebody was a prophet or a holy man, something about his holy saliva would be powerful. And so, maybe he's thinking, okay, he's a holy man, he's a prophet, this is kind of weird, but okay, let's just go with it. You know? And he starts muddying his eyes. Now, it says he put the mud on his eyes. I don't know if the eyes were open or closed. I hope they were closed, right? But they're on the eyes. And then Jesus goes, all right, got to go wash it off. All right? Where? Siloam. There's a pool I want you to go to. It's like fun. So, do you know where Siloam was? Okay, so there's the temple. Siloam is about 500 meters down the road, around the corner, through the woods, over the river. You know, this is a blind man, right? I got mud on my eyes. You close your eyes and walk down to Mitaki Eki, right? It's not a straight way, and it's not flat either. How are you going to get down there with your eyes closed? What is Jesus doing? He's healing. He's giving the light to that man who was living in darkness. If you were in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, he said it again, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, even though you're walking in darkness, you will have the light of life. So we're not talking about physical blindness, are we? We're talking about something so much more. When God changes you, when God opens the eyes of your heart, listen, okay, maybe it's like, wow, amazing. I came to church, the pastor was speaking, and it clicked. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. That's a good thing. But how about the rest of us? I don't know. This guy, he made some mud, he put it on my eyes, it made it darker. See, even blind people, they can sense the light. You close your eyes, you sense the light. You put something over your eyes, it gets darker. Jesus made it darker for this man. So now he's in darker darkness. And now he has to obey Jesus. It could be that when God opens your eyes, it gets darker for you. Your faith means you're not going to walk by sight, but you're going to walk through some darkness, around the corner, through some thickets, maybe some tears, maybe some people saying, where are you going? You're dirty. And all you can say is, I don't know, I'm being sent to the place called sent. And you have to obey. And here's the thing. It's after you obey that your eyes are opened. Did you catch that? The awakening goes through the obedience. Forgive me, no. The awakening is at the other side of obedience. So maybe you can come here and you think, I don't know. I think I hear a voice, and I think someone's talking to me. And I don't think it's going to get better, but what have I got to lose? So he goes, It says he goes, he washes, he goes back seeing. Right? And then what's the result? So he goes back and he's obviously different. Because his family, his friends, the people who knew him, they're like, half the people were like, that's a different man. And the other people thought, no, that's him. No, the other people, it looks like him, but it's not him. And the guy himself has to say, it's me. It's me. I pray that is how people see us. It's Chris, but something's different. Are you really Chris? Yes, it's me. Now here's my problem. I've been working at the place I work at 7-8 years now. I've really blown it with most of the people I work with. They know I'm a Christian. They know I'm a pastor. And I've done some stupid things that's so bad, I don't think they're going to come to know Jesus because of me. I really feel like I've just kind of built up a wall. And if they do end up knowing Jesus, it will be in spite of me. Because of just my, my pride, my arrogance, my words, just the things I've done. But here's the thing about Christians. We always have hope, don't we? Yeah. I hope I go to work tomorrow. And having studied this scripture, and having been changed, and having received God's grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, light, I hope that when I go to work tomorrow, they say, is that Habakkuk? Oh my God, what happened tonight? I really hope so. And I really hope they say, well, Habakkuk, you used to be so, what happened? I really hope that. That's the only hope I have. And then I can say, I don't know. All I know is there's a man named Jesus who opened my eyes to his love, his glory, his grace, his beauty. That's all. Okay, I have to close. And the great thing is we left off in verse 12. I don't know. You know what? Was that enough for him? It's enough. I'm reminded of the story at the end. Jesus is at the cross, and he's in the middle because on his left and on his right, there's two other guys. And one guy, he's on the cross, and he says, Lord, when you enter your kingdom, remember me. And what did Jesus say? Yeah, today. You're going to be with me in paradise. So go with me. The man, after a few hours, that man dies. He finds himself in the presence of Moses, David, Abraham, Elijah. He sees himself like in the presence of angels. It's like, he's like, whoa. And they look at him and they're like, you? And they ask him, what are you doing here? I don't know. How did you get here? The man on the middle cross said, I can come. That's it. That's all you need. The man on the middle cross said, you can come. You don't need, I believe in the, 5-point Calvinism. I've studied the Bible. I memorized the church. The man on the cross said, I can come. He opened my eyes. So I'm praying, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see Jesus lifted up. So let's do that. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, I want to see Jesus lifted high. And I want everybody else to do that too. Father, we come as people changed and yet hungering and thirsting for righteousness. You said it yourself, Jesus. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Lord, fill me up in the name of Jesus. Lord, you came to open the eyes of the blind and to set the prisoner free. Oh God, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So Lord, I pray that you will open the eyes of us who are blind and set us who are captives free from sin, shame, guilt, Satan, death, and hell. Lord Jesus, I believe you took my darkness so that I can walk in your light. Lord Jesus, I believe that you took even my blindness so that I could have your sight. And Lord Jesus, for that I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Though once I was blind, now I see. I love you, Lord Jesus. And I pray for that love to reach all of us here in such a way that it really impacts and changes us on the inside. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.